I brought my little outline. I don't know if I'll be looking at it very much, but when Sister Sherry came to me last night and asked me if I would do this, I just sort of fell apart. I said, you know, because I've never done anything like this before. I'm not a public speaker at all. I said, well, when do you want me to do this? And she said, tomorrow night. And I said, oh, I just can't do it. Let's just wait a little bit. I'll pray. She said, okay. So I went to my seat, and I was still very nervous and still just whatever. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I could even do it. I don't know what I can say. I don't know how to do it. But, you know, he came right in, and he calmed me, and he said, I want you to do this. And he said, just start from the beginning. Just start from the beginning. Because she asked me about she said personal testimony, but she said how I came to the truth also. So I guess the very beginning that I can remember, of course, I was raised in Anderson Church of God on my dad's side. And that's where all my family went. And when I was 8 years old, I remember, that's as far back as I can remember anything about God, but I remember thinking, you know, someday when I grow up, I want to marry a preacher. And I didn't know at the time until I got older and realized why I wanted to marry a preacher was because I couldn't see God in my family around me or anything, but I could see a resemblance of God anyway in the preacher, the message that came forth. So at a very early age, God was drawing me. And throughout, before I got married and even after I got married at a young age, my husband was raised in false religion, Baptist and Methodist and what have you down there. I don't think they went to church a lot. They went to singings and that type of thing. He didn't know anything about Church of God, and I didn't know anything about false religion, the other. Sometimes we would go to church. I remember one time we went to church. It was a Baptist church. And this may seem a little funny, but this is true. This really happened. I think it was a Wednesday night, and the preacher didn't show up. And he was out putting up his tobacco, and he had forgotten about church. So, I mean, it is bad out there. It really is. If you've been raised here in the Church of God, and as a young person on up or whatever, you are so privileged.
Right.
You don't know what's out there, you know, and you hunger and you thirst. And that's what I was doing through my years, and tried different times to get saved. Thought that I was saved. You know, and it only lasted probably a week or two, and I realized I wasn't saved because I hadn't been changed. I was the same old me. It was just me. I want to use some of these. And my husband was a bricklayer and a stonemason, and he had to move around a lot for work. Well, we went to Missouri, spent a couple of years out there. And it just so happened that the place that he had been offered a work there at Fort Leonard Wood was real close to Brother John Dadelmont's congregation. So we went there for 2 years. You know, thought I was saved, but it was just, you know, it just, there was something missing. There just wasn't, something just wasn't right. So I can look back and see how God, though, He was drawing me, and he was keeping me, you know, in the Church of God doctrine things, and he was leading me, and I thank God for that. We came back to our home there in Tennessee. There was after those 2 years there in Missouri, Sherry was just a baby. She was about 2 or 3 months old, and we started going to a little Church of God congregation right there in our town, or our little community, I guess, Del Rio. And there was a little, and I want you young people to hear this, there was a young 16-year-old girl. She would testify And that girl was saved. She was saved. And I have to be honest and say, I did not see that in anybody else. There was probably about 20 people there. But I started, God, I want that. That's what I want. I want real, true salvation. And I just thought, you know, with you young people and everything, you never know how God can be using you. I mean, when you don't even expect it,
right.
Somebody could have their eyes on you and they could see you and be drawn to the Lord. And that's what we want. That's why He put us here, you know, not just for us to make it to heaven. He wants us to live right and be a light and lift Him up in our life so that others can make it too. And I thank God for that. But anyway, I called. Up until that time, you know, I thought I was saved. I told the pastor I was and everything. But anyway, through her, just hearing her, just, you know, often just testifying, God just, He just opened up my understanding. You're not saved, you know. But you know, when God talks to you, it's not, He doesn't beat you down. He encouraged me, even with the fact that I knew I wasn't saved. He encouraged my heart because I knew I could get saved. And I called my pastor at that time, and I said, I'm not saved. And he tried to talk me in. He said, oh, no, you're... I said, no, I'm not. I said, God has shown me I'm not saved. Now, I want to be saved, and I'm going to keep on till I get saved. But I'm not saved now, but I'm going to get there. And about 3 months after that, He called a weekend revival every weekend. He was going to have weekend revivals for months. He didn't have any ending to it. He just said every weekend. And wouldn't you know, one of the preachers was Brother Hazley. Probably lived about, I didn't even know of him, you know, until then. But he came up, I think he was probably about an hour and a half away from where we lived. And then Mike Rogers, he came up too. And there was another one, I think it was, but I don't know the other one's name. But they would take turns, and they started coming up every weekend. And I tell you, my heart, I was thrilled just to hear them. And we would have people in our home, and me not even being saved or anything, I enjoyed so much them coming in. They'd come in, and Brother Mike Rogers and his wife, Linda Gale, which usually the ones that would stay at our house for the weekend, and get around and just the table, and they would talk about the things of God, and I loved it. I said, I know I can't enter into this right now, but someday I'm going to. And it was just such a blessing. And my heart just kept hungering and hungering. Of course, the Lord was getting me ready. I must have been a very stubborn person or something. But anyway, sometime in January, I was cooking dinner. I didn't go to church on Sunday morning because we were going to have some of the brethren and the families were going to come into our house for lunch that day. So I stayed home that morning. I didn't go. But I cooked and everything, and I can't remember now who it was that I was cooking for. But after the meal and everything, and just about, probably maybe 30, 45 minutes, here come Brother Hazley and all the other brethren and all the ones that had been over to the preacher's house. The preacher didn't come. The pastor, didn't come. They were all at his house, but they all came over. The rest of them came to my house and just gathered right in. And they asked us, me and my family, me and my kids and my husband, to sing some gospel song. I forget now exactly what it was. And I was under such heavy, heavy conviction. I could not hardly sing that song. I just kept my head down. I thought, Lord, I'm singing words that's not true, but I want them to be true. And after that, while everybody just started talking, I had to get up and go to another room and just close the door, and I just cried. I said, God, I can't take this anymore. I want to be saved. I want you. And came back out, and I guess a little bit later, I don't know, Brother Hazley, he asked me, he said, would you like to pray? Would you like to be saved? I said, yes. I really would like to be saved. So they all gathered around my couch in my living room. And we prayed for a while, and he would ask me, you know, different things. I remember one of the things he asked me, he said, are you willing to give up your home? And I said, yes, I'm willing to give up anything. I don't care what it takes, I'm willing to give it up. And they prayed another time. And I mean, the burden, I mean, I wasn't heavily burdened no more. And the preachers, they just, the burden had left them to pray. But I still didn't, you know, I was new to all this. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be sure I was saved. So I didn't say I was saved. So that Sunday evening, they were going to have feet washing at the church. And I said, I want to go feet washing with everybody. I didn't partake of anything there, but I did stand up at the end of it, and I asked for prayer, you know, and I've never done that before, but I said, I want you to keep praying for me. Be praying for me, because I want to be saved. I want to really be saved, and I want to raise my children in the fear of God. I wanted to raise my children right. And then I just sat down, and service was over, came home. Throughout the night, probably a couple times during the night, I would wake up, and every time I woke up, God was on my mind. Jesus was on my mind. And it was beautiful. And I'd go back to sleep, and I'd wake up again later, and still on my mind. And then when it got time to get up, I got up that morning, and the very first thing I did, I went and got the Bible. I started reading it. And I thought, man, this is different. I've never done anything like this before. And then I guess when it started dawning on me that I was saved, man, you talk about the happiness and everything, you know, it came in. And I said, I called my mother. I had to tell her I was saved. She was really happy for me. She was really happy. Then I called Brother Hafley. I said, Brother Hafley, I said, I believe that I'm saved. He said, well, sister, I believe you are too. So anyway, that's how I got saved. And it was just miraculous, and it was beautiful, and you can't explain it. I mean, I can't explain it. My words cannot tell what it was like, but everybody that experiences it, you know what it's like. You know, you just can't tell it. But so we were there at this congregation for about, probably close to 5 years, and during that time after I got saved, Brother and Sister Harry Craig and Sister Green came down, you know, once in a while, and they'd hold revivals. I would have them in my home and cook that good old that ham that we'd raise, you know, we'd raise pigs, we'd have ham, good old country cured ham. He always bragged on my ham. We'd have them, and sometimes Brother Randolph, I don't know, you know, some of you underwoods might remember him that lived over in North Carolina. He would come over and hold his revival. And it was just, when somebody like that came in, it was beautiful and it was good and it lifted you up and it made you feel really, you just felt different. You felt God. And then when the revivals and everything was over, it was just, it went down flat again. It was just, well, it was just dead, I guess. I don't know. At that time, I don't think I knew that it was dead, but, you know, it was just different. You just go in and get very discouraged. And I remember one time we had a feet washing, and when that was over, I came out and sat down, and my heart was heavy. It was just really heavy. And God spoke to me. I was sitting there in that seat. And, in, you know, how he speaks to you in your mind and stuff, but he said, someday you're going to be at a place where feet washing means something. Amen. And I carried that with me. You know, that's when God tells you something, I mean, you can hold on to it. It doesn't leave you. It's there.
Amen.
And so I held on to that. And I would hear, you know, different preaching. It would just, I don't know, I remember hearing, I think it was Brother Wilson, Emerson Wilson. I heard him preach somewhere. I don't know if it was up at Brother Randolph's congregation or not. But I do not remember hearing him one time that he preached at a place called Steel Corn, North Carolina. I don't know if any of you ever heard of that. Anyway, it's very, very back in the boonies, back in the sticks in North Carolina somewhere, about an hour and a half from our house where we live. And I'll tell you what, it's just like my heart ballooned. It just ballooned and it was taking all that in. And I started getting a really heavy burden. I wanted to move up here so bad. But you just, being down there in those mountains and you just, and I, you know, just to even ask God for something like that, it was just like asking him for heaven or the moon or something. You know, it just seemed like it was just, you know, so far out of reach. But I guess about a year and a half I prayed that way. The burden was just so heavy sometimes. And I remember telling my pastor down there that, I don't know all that I told him, but I remember telling him about, you know, moving and whatever. And he said, well, God's never going to let you move because you're our piano player. And my heart just broke because, you know, I believe you listen to the man of God. You know, you don't just go over what they're telling you, you know. Oh, my heart was crushed. I mean, I was just crushed. But, you know, it's really something how God works. Because here it was, 1984, and my husband, we were going to have to move again because he didn't have any work. And we were talking about where to go or what you could do. And I said, we agreed. We talked about it. And we agreed. We said, well, why don't you try Newark? See if you can find a job up there. So he agreed. And he said, okay, well, I'll try that. So we came up here, and Brother Clarence Green offered him a job. So that's how we wound up here in 1984. Very thankful for all of that. Up here for 10 years. And then, sometimes my husband, the end of the 10 years, he couldn't get those pretty mountains and everything out of his system, I guess. And every once in a while, he wanted to go back. And I thought, I don't want to go back. And he said, well, I'll not move you at all. We'll stay here if that's what you want to do. Well, see, the devil knew that. So I got in a low place or something because my family down there started working on me. My dad had died just about a year, about 92 or 93, anyway, he passed away. So my family down there started working on me. That I needed to be down there to help with my mother. I have two sisters and a brother that live down there, but I don't know, it started working on me. So everybody, you better be careful. You better be careful when God tells you to do something and then you start, you know, you start getting worked on to do something different. You need to be careful.
Right. Amen.
Because he works in a sly, sly way. And I didn't realize it. Sister Cummings, she would tell me, she said, you don't need to do this. This is a bad move. You don't need to do this. But see, I didn't take that admonition. I thought I knew best. I thought I knew what was right. But she, you know, just had this thing wrong. And the reason, I guess one of the reasons too, that helped me to think about, okay, it'll be okay to go back down there. That pastor down there that I'd had all those years, he was starting to come around up here and, you know, to camp meetings a lot. And then the church up here gave him a loan for a church building. And I thought, okay, everything's going to be okay. I'll get to go down. There'll be a good place to go to church and be with my family, you know, have the best of both worlds. Well, we moved. We moved back down there. We weren't down there very, very long. Just out. Completely out with God. Just got in a horrible, horrible place. And for 7 years, we were away from the church up here. But God wasn't, he didn't let go of us. He didn't let go of me. I don't know, Lisa, she had this real bad car wreck when she, it was 1998, and she broke her neck in three places. And she has steel plates and screws in her neck now that she'll have, you know, have all her life, the rest of her life. And they said that she four people out of five would have been completely paralyzed. She wasn't paralyzed at all. So that was a miracle. But while she was in the hospital, my pastor at that time and his wife came down to visit. Never had prayer, never had nothing. Brother Decker called, and he talked to me for a little bit, and then he prayed with Lisa. And we hadn't been up here for 4 years. But God was keeping us on people's minds, I guess.
Right.
He prayed. And that was just such a blessing. And it didn't let us forget what we had up here.
Right.
And the mess that we were in down there. And then when Sister Cummings, I think it was 2001, her and Brother Cummings were down there visiting her aunt that was just about 45 minutes away from where we lived at that time. And they had a horrible time to get up because they said they really felt burdened to come see us. And their car tore up. I don't know the details about that, but they finally came. And very thankful that they did, because that was another outreach that reached out to us. And she was showing us some pictures. Well, we were excited to see them too. My husband, we were all very excited to see them. But she brought out all these pictures, and I remember she was telling us all the news and everything, and she had this picture of Brother and Sister Decker. And I just started bawling. I said, "Can I have this picture? You know, I just wanted something." And she said, "Of course you can." So she prayed for us and everything, and they went back. But all this time, you know, we were really wanting to get back up here and get back with God and just get our lives straightened back out. So me and Sherry decided we'd come up in June. We'd come up to camp meeting. And we both got saved in June camp meeting. I think it was on a Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just so thankful that God was faithful. He didn't let us stay there without Him still reaching out.
Amen.
So we went back down there and told my husband. He was not saved. He was happy. He was happy for us that we got saved and everything. But then in October, he was killed in a tractor accident, just a freak accident. And we said, okay, we're going to move back up there. We're going back. But, I put a bet on it. Sherry had just started nursing school in September. And he was killed in October. And I said, well, let's wait until she gets out of nursing school. She'll be there for a year, 13 months or whatever. Let's wait until she comes back. We don't want to take her out of this right now. So we stayed down there. We had a house that had to been sold. There were just a lot of things that would have been done. But I think she had about two car wrecks between October and April. Well, not the last one is what did it. The last one's what did it. I'll let her tell you about that sometime if she wants to. She may already have. But I thought, okay, this, you know, we all agreed we're not staying here any longer. We are moving now. So we did. The Lord just worked it out. I guess within less than a month, our house sold. Everything I had needed to be sold was sold. We had a house bought up here. God just worked it all out. And I am amazed at what God can do when it's His will. But I'm very thankful, too, that, you know, since we've been back up here, there's been struggles, there's been things. But I am so thankful that God is faithful. I'm thankful that He loves us. And I just want you all to be encouraged, because like I said before, you never know when somebody's watching your life.
Right.
You, as a young person even, you may think, well, man, you know, I'm just young. My life doesn't mean that much. But no, it really does. That 16-year-old girl is what God used to open up my eyes. So I just want to thank God for all that He's done for me. And thank Him that we're back up here. I told my mother when we moved and stuff, she said, everyone had really good jobs. We had this nice home. All of my family's down there. But you know what? You have to give up things to get truth. You don't find truth just anywhere you go.
Right. Amen.
So I'm just thankful that God worked it all out, made a way. She asked me, she said, you'll probably never move back down here, will you? I said, no, Mom, I won't be moving back. I'll come back and see you as often as I can, but I will not be moving back. With the grace of God, I won't be moving back. So God has worked all this out, so I'm very thankful.